What's up, guys? This is Zach, and you have just stepped into the dark blue. Today, I am here with Kyle Mims, the owner of Hotbox in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're excited to talk about some physical health stuff today. How you doing, Kyle?
Doing great. Feeling good today.
Awesome, man. Very excited to meet you and talk about mental health and physical health and how they relate. I'm really excited to hear your opinion and your experience on that.
Let's do it. Let's go into the blue.
So in typical dark blue tradition, we're going to start with our beverage. So I've got one of my favorite German beers here. It's called Weinstephaner. This is their premium original lager. It's just refreshing and simple. German beers are good because they don't go outside of into these crazy flavor profiles that we have in the US sometimes. And so sometimes I like to sit down with something really simple and easy like this Weinstephaner. So that's what I'm going to have today. What are you having?
So I'm going to have a little bit of clear tequila.
Yes.
I don't know the exact name of it. It was in my cabinet, but I'm not picky about my tequilas. As long as it's clear and it's not chilled, I like it. But if I have to say, German beers are my favorite. I love how the European beers are always bigger. But when you taste it.
Yeah, full pint.
Yeah, it tastes like, I go, man, this is what a Budweiser should taste like.
Right, but exactly.
That is a beer right there.
I feel like that's what Budweiser was like before it got extremely mass produced, you know? It's like the Budweiser that our grandfathers were drinking tasted more like this.
Yeah, I think so. It's just every time I have a Budweiser, I'm just so brutally let down.
Yep, I hear you. I always feel like it tastes like soggy bread.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
All right, man. Well, cheers.
Cheers, man.
Let's get it going.
Nice.
So, why do you choose specifically clear tequila?
It's a good question. It's not like a calorie thing or anything like that. Although clear tequila is pretty conservative on the calories and the dietary side of it. I just discovered it one day. Someone was just giving me shots of tequila and I just didn't want to do any more shots. And I just took a couple sips. I was like, damn, I really like this. Like, I actually genuinely like the taste. And I feel like I don't drink often at all, but I feel like if I have a tequila early in the day, I just feel like I can keep the day going. Beer kind of makes me a little sleepy, but tequila gives me a little energy. So
nice.
I'm a tequila guy now.
That's totally understandable. I've actually more recently started drinking tequila more often, and it's got a really nice flavor to it. It's like smooth and sweet.
Yeah.
And I think I was always afraid of tequila because people always made it like this really terrible burn going down. And just people always talking about how it's just a rough alcohol to drink. But that's not been what I've found over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I definitely graduated to it. So I, for a while, I was just ordering Fireball, but in a rocks glass.
Nice.
It looks like whiskey.
Yeah.
So I would just sip on some Fireball.
Nobody knows the wiser. Yeah.
Yeah. And and then I graduated to like tequila, and not long ago I got introduced to Jameson, and I was like, okay, I can handle this too. I can go for a Jameson. So I no longer look like the 21-year-old version of myself at a bar. Like, I can look sophisticated.
Nice. There you go. I like it. Well, how do you feel about telling us a little bit about your background? Like, where you come from and what kind of got you to the point you're at now owning Hotbox? And what brought all that to be?
Sure. It's kind of a wild story. And as we were talking a little bit before we started, from San Antonio, Texas, originally that's where I was born. My family moved all around Texas for my dad's work. And then about 8 years old, my mother was a singer-songwriter, and she transplanted to Nashville, Tennessee, and brought the family along with her. So I did all of my growing up essentially in, on, or, you know, around the Nashville area, always around the music business and singer-songwriters, things like that. I started playing drums at a really early age, nice. Around when I was 8 years old. Okay. Oh, nice. Nice.
You're about 12 for me, but yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, and I would take my mom's keys and put them on the floor and make it sound like a hi-hat and nice. Use Lincoln logs on the couch. And when I started tearing up the couch, they finally just got me a drum set on. And so it was always a part of my life. And then middle school, started playing in country music bands around Nashville to make money on the weekends. So I was 14 years old, and I'd go play like hoedown gigs, like country square dance gigs out in the country on the weekends for money. And then I got into punk rock and hardcore music, joined a punk rock and hardcore band, and started traveling and touring with them right out of high school.
Cool.
And then I just lived on the road like a savage up until I was 30 years old, touring in a van with six dudes.
Yeah.
Who were completely emotionally unintelligent, just animals, just young animals packed in this white van for, man, years out of my life. And it was...
Was it a big punk rock band, like somebody that I would know?
Man, probably not. There was the first band I was in was called Love is Red, and we were from Nashville. Love is Red eventually broke up. And during Love is Red is when I made a friendship that actually grew into starting Hotbox years down the road. And then I joined a band called Evergreen Terrace, which was a little bit bigger than Love is Red, and moved to Florida to start playing with those guys. We got to tour all over the world. It was an incredible experience, and I'm so grateful for it. Looking back, now that I'm married and almost 40 years old, my wife is just, she's basically putting me back, like Billy Madison going back through elementary school of emotional intelligence and growing up. Didn't realize how little growing up I did in those years of my life. But during that period, we met a guy that was in high school in Cincinnati, and we loved him. He was just fun and fun as shit to be around. And so we basically stole him and put him in our van, and he became our roadie. And that guy, Jamie, eventually years down the road, came up with the idea for Hotbox. I was still traveling in a band, and he would just call me every day saying, I'm gonna do it. And we would talk about it. He eventually started it. I quit my band, moved back to Nashville, and would go to Hotbox and hang out with them and help them around the gym and just help them think through stuff. And then I got into school for the first time in my life, which is another crazy story. But eventually he convinced me to drop out of school and join the band again, which was nice. Hotbox. Hotbox was our new band. And that was in 2012 when I joined on. And it's been 8 years since I joined on officially. And it's been just an crazy story. Crazy.
Yeah, no doubt. That's awesome, man. And guys, I got the opportunity to go to Hotbox while I was in Nashville recently, and it was a really cool experience. So you're essentially kickboxing in a sauna, which, you know, my friends that I went with, they told me I was going to be kickboxing, but they didn't tell me that I was going to be in a hot room. And so I was like, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate that. Because I'm not a hot weather guy. I don't like being hot. But you know what? I got in there and I pushed through it anyway. And it was a really cool experience. So if you guys are in Nashville, go see Kyle at Hotbox and get in there, take a couple classes. So you'll sweat out some of the demons. So
at least a good 5 or 8 pounds worth.
Yeah. So yeah, you want to tell us a little bit more about the concept of Hotbox and like why it's important for you?
Yeah, absolutely. It really honestly started as a complete stoner idea. Jamie and I, you know, coming from the punk rock and hardcore scene, it was one of those crazy, and we carry so much of that experience with us into Hotbox, and it's what makes it unique to this day. A punk rock or hardcore scene can be very unwelcoming at times.
Yeah.
It's like you have the seniors who sit at the cool table, and if you're the freshman, man, it's just it's a kind of a shit experience in some pockets of shows and scenes and cities.
Right.
And so we saw so much stuff over the years that was just, you know, so unwelcoming to people, and it was really unfair to a lot of young kids who just wanted to come and have a good time. And then, you know, we adapted the mentality even during those days of like, man, if we see like a young person come in the door to show, like, let's like scoop them up, take them in under our wing, or at least welcome them in. Like, let's grow this thing.
That's great.
And so Jamie kind of started it. We got into kickboxing together at MMA gyms and Muay Thai gyms. And it was just like, it was the same thing. You walk into like an MMA gym or a martial arts gym, not all of them, but a lot of them, it's like real pretentious. And if you haven't earned your belt yet or your stripes,
then you're a poser.
You just get put through the ringer. And, you know, we really discovered, and he discovered, he was like, hey, kickboxing is, it's tight. You don't have to be a martial artist, and you don't have to earn your stripes. Anyone should be able to do it, and it should be fun. So let's take the stench out of the gym. Let's put on some cool music, and let's welcome every person that comes in the door with open arms. And then in comes Hotbox. And it really just started on a whim like that.
That's great. It's amazing how many of those ideas are born of something so simple like that, you know? And I definitely got that when I visited Hotbox. People were very welcoming, and you guys still hold true to that, which I think is really cool. Everyone on the staff was just really excited that I was there, and same for other new folks that were visiting as well. And definitely made me want to go back. And I was only there visiting for a week, and I was just like, hey guys, let's go to another class. Let's go.
That's awesome. Man, that's like the most important thing that I try to instill to the staff when they come on board, is I try to tell that story of our background. And you know, the first people we would sign up at this gym, literally, they were the ones who were going to help us get out of bartending or out of whatever situation. They were going to help us pay rent.
Yeah.
And so there was like this true, like, gratefulness that we had for people to give us their time and money.
Yeah.
Just like, I trust you with this fucked up idea. Here's my money. Take it. It was like, dude, we were exhilarated. And so now that the company's grown, you know, much larger, it wouldn't be Hotbox. It wouldn't be worth doing if we still didn't keep that mentality. Because at the end of the day, like, literally, whether someone's a millionaire or a broke college kid, like, their money, like, it's really supporting someone in this gym or supporting something. Like, let's be grateful for it and give them everything we got.
Yeah, that's great, man. I love it. Such a positive attitude. And, you know, that's what I've been really excited to have conversations with people like this, these interviews with people who are just really trying to create something positive in the world and give people a place to belong and be themselves. And that's what Into the Dark Blue is all about, is creating community and creating positive things out in the world, you know? And so, it's really awesome to hear that that's where your mindset is for it.
And that's what people crave the most, is just confidence and belonging. I know I've craved that so much throughout my life in certain situations. And every person that works at Hotbox, like, you have the, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, you have the opportunity to change the trajectory of, potentially change someone's life. Like, literally, someone, the next person who walks through the door could be that person who just doesn't belong somewhere, doesn't have it in them to find that. You could be that person or that place for them. Like, man, take it yep. very seriously.
That's really cool. I love it. So how would you say then that physical health relates to mental health? Because, you know, that acceptance that you're talking about and belonging, how would you say that those two things relate, and where would you go with that?
Yeah, well, I think it's starting to be really well known amongst people that, you know, exercise, the endorphins you get from it, the adrenaline, the endorphins, the positive things it does in your body chemically when you exercise or exert yourself physically, it's key to just kind of keeping you going. Like, there's things you need in your life on a daily basis that sends those positive rushes. I found at times where I've gone into dark places, one of those elements of my life that are key to, like, getting those rushes are missing, or I've let it kind of fall to the side. And so exercising is an easy way to, and sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes you need more than that, but you need a release of that. And if you don't have exercise in your life, you're missing one of the pieces of the pie that can stimulate that for you. So I'd say getting those endorphins and confidence in learning actual kickboxing or a trade, a skill, how to lift weights or exercise properly. It's a hobby. It's something that, like, makes you be present in that moment, takes your mind off the world. And let's say you start losing fat. You feel like you're the best version of yourself, or you look in the mirror and you go, this is physically who I want to be.
Yeah.
That
creates, man, a level of confidence that you might not have had otherwise.
Yeah, confidence is, getting confidence in yourself is huge. Huge.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, and building that confidence on your own is an even bigger thing. You know, like, if you want that confidence and you're striving for that and going to Hotbox every other day, or going to the gym and lifting weights every, you know, couple of days, and that's a decision that you're making, you're going out and, like, you look, like you said, you look in the mirror and it's just like, I did this. I sculpted this. And, like, that's a pretty, pretty amazing feeling.
Yeah, man. Having something that you own, something that you do for yourself, is a very positive thing. And it's not to say you got to be cut up or shredded to have confidence. I think that we all have a picture of ourselves in our head, of what we want to be, who we want to be. And ultimately, if you aren't pursuing that or living that, then I think that's kind of can be damaging to your soul at times. Everyone's picture of that, everyone's picture is different. And I think if you, like I said, if you aren't pursuing that, it kind of weighs on you after time, it catches up with you.
Yeah, that makes sense. I worked for the YMCA for a couple of years, and one of the things I liked about their kind of mantra is they focus on the body, the mind, and the spirit, right? That's kind of their original mantra. And, like, from years ago, that's where they kind of started. And it's simple, but it's something that I try to hold on to pretty regularly, because those are the, like, essentially the three pillars of who we are, is our body, the mind, and the spirit. And that's, I think, for me, one of my most difficult, the most difficult one for me to be consistent in is the body aspect of it. For some reason, I just really struggle with being consistent and going to the gym, lifting weights and things like that. And even though I know it makes me feel better, I have a hard time sometimes being like, okay, I'm going to go do this, making sure I work it into my schedule and that kind of thing. So what would you recommend for somebody who struggles with consistency in working out? Like, what would you recommend as something that might help?
That's a good question. It's everyone's level of fitness that they want to achieve is different. And so first, I don't think people should put these massive expectations or these big goals are great, but you shouldn't say, okay, I'm going to the gym, and then in a certain amount of time, I'm not shredded or cut or jacked or look like this unrealistic, this other human being. You know, have consistency, wake up, get a routine. There's days where you're just not going to go. There's days you're not going to want to go, but just try to get up and go do something. I think I've always been anti-routine and anti-organization.
Yeah.
But I find in my life, when I get out of a routine, that's when things start slipping. I notice I started, my mentality starts kind of falling off a little bit. Maybe my diet starts falling off, or my exercise. As long as I've avoided routine and consistency, I actually believe that it's embedded in us to need and to want and to have in some way, shape, or form. So it's hard to lay out an exact plan of like, this will get you in a routine. But I think it's finding something that you actually can take your mind off of other things and enjoy doing.
Yeah, definitely.
That's been kickboxing for me. Cool. Some people, it's powerlifting, it's yoga, it's Pilates, or walking. Find something that speaks to you. Seek that out, and then just try to fight to make a routine out of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, find something you actually have a passion for and, you know, enjoy going to. That's definitely a big one for me. I love racquetball and lifting weights and martial arts as well. So I did a few years of mixed martial arts and karate and Muay Thai, things like that. And so it was really nice to get back in to hot box and, you know, throw a few punches. And it was just like, man, I miss this so much. So
how did you feel about, did you get into any of the jiu-jitsu part of MMA training? Did you
ever? A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's honestly, like the first time ever, I've kickboxed for years. I've never like seriously injured myself. That's even like training fighters and sparring. Yeah. I did jiu-jitsu once, broke my pinky toe. And I was like, I'm never doing this shit. I'm done. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's exhausting. Jiu-jitsu is exhausting. That's like 10 seconds of jiu-jitsu versus 10 seconds of, you know, Muay Thai or karate or something is just worlds apart.
Yeah, there's so much thinking involved in it.
Uh-huh.
Your brain just exerts so much thinking power during that. These small physical transitions, it's just like doubles the output. It'll wreck you.
Yep. And then you're always exerting physical, like some kind of physical force. You're never just like relaxed when you're doing jiu-jitsu at any point.
But that's what's cool about stuff like that is, it keeps your brain in one place. Jiu-jitsu, you're having to, you know, you're supposed to be trying to think a few steps ahead as you progress and get better. It's a big chess match, but like there are certain things I've tried to do in the exercise world where I love lifting weights, but sometimes, man, I'm lifting in between a set or during a set, I get distracted. And now I'm on the phone, or I'm checking my email, or I'm thinking about works, and then my workout's gone. So if you can find something that gets you completely present, that's crucial. It's key.
It's almost like meditation of sorts when you get to that point.
Are you an avid meditator, or have tried it?
Yeah, I try to be. It's something that's really important to me. Disconnecting yourself from everything else and giving yourself the opportunity to clear your mind and just be in the present moment, I think is extremely important. Because it gives you just I don't know, we've got so many influences all the time, just constantly coming in at us. And if we don't separate ourselves from those every once in a while, I don't think there's any opportunity for us to truly progress and become what we desire to be or can be, because we're all of these outside influences are shaping us and keeping us on a path that is being chosen for us, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that meditation kind of helps us come back to our own path.
Yeah.
And continue to progress on that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I agree with that. It's like, it puts you on a, meditation's become a huge part of my life just in the past 6 months. Cool. Last year was an extremely fucked up year for me, mentally. And, meditation was one of the key factors into kind of getting me back into, feeling like I am my own existence. There is a myself. Yeah. Like you said, there's so many things that influence you out there. There are times without meditation where if I let my brain wander, I start to wonder who I really am. What, and we're always going to ask those questions, but, it's led me to get back to a place of like a right here, right now. And I feel confident being who I am right now. And meditation is really, man, it's my wife. If I go 2 days without meditating, she knows. She can just tell.
She's just like, get in there and shut up for a little while. Just
go upstairs and meditate. And she literally... It's so crazy. I'll go a couple days without meditating. We'll be sitting at the dinner table talking, or she'll be talking, and then all it takes is a, hey, are you here? Are you here? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, you haven't been meditating, have you? I'm like, what's it matter? Why? Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty great partner to have. Can't lie.
She's. I tell people all the time, she's made me a man.
Yeah.
I was a little boy coming out of my 20s and 30s, just because I was so from touring for years.
Yeah.
It was great, but I never did any work on myself.
Right.
And when we got married, she pushes me to be the best version, to be myself and myself. That's and it's cool. been of. Oh, crazy experience trying to do that.
Definitely. How long have you guys known each other?
Everything kind of happened pretty quick. We got married in 2013, so it's about 6.5 years of marriage so far. We met only less than a year before that, but what's really crazy is when we were both in middle school, I think it was like 8th grade, our mothers actually knew each other through mutual friends and set us up on a blind date at a concert. They're like, oh, we have a cute daughter, have a cute son, let's make a meet. And we met at this concert. The parents left, she fired up a cigarette, we looked at each other and we're like, I'm gonna go hang out with my friends. She went and hung out with her friends. And we didn't realize that until we went on our first date and started talking. And I was like, hold up a sec. I went down memory lane, was like, do you remember this? And it was a yes. And it was like, oh my God, holy shit, that was you. And when we were, 30 years ago, it's crazy.
That's cute.
I know it is. It's such a serendipitous thing, I guess.
Absolutely. That's really cool. So how would you say though, then that it sounds like she helps to keep you grounded pretty well. And, you've said that she has helped bring the man out of the boy or turn the boy into the man. So what role would you say that she plays in that specifically that's helped you kind of get to a better place?
She calls me on my shit. She just comes from a background where, had a really wild upbringing. And so at an early age, I think females just tend to work on themselves, kind of like, you were talking, like, one of the goals of this podcast is to get men feel comfortable talking and exploring. And so I think women have probably do a little bit more of that at an earlier age. And so she came from a background that really had her having to dig deep and explore who she was and where she came from. And she had a couple of jobs, especially one. She worked for a company called Lululemon for several years. And that company really invests a lot in their people.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of tools to discover.
Yeah, I actually worked next door to their facility up here in Seattle for about a year. And during their work day, the people who work there are allowed to go work out for, I think it's like they get an hour of their day to go work out every day. And they've got this amazing fitness facility inside the warehouse. And it's phenomenal. So
they do a lot of those things to their people. They give them a lot of information, workshops, tools. They have like book clubs, things like that. They really want people to build themselves up and do the best they can to be a lot of self-help, essentially, they give to their employees. And so when I met her, she already had a lot of those tools in her bag. And so anytime you get around a complete novice when it comes to self-discovery, it's just like a sore thumb sticking out. And I just noticed it was a lot of time of her calling me on my shit and me taking it really personally and getting uber defensive about it until I just kind of had those discoveries or read some things and was like, oh, wait, I understand now. I get it. And that really helped me start growing. So she introduced me to a lot of tools that were given to her. And I've also tried to bring those in into Hotbox and share it with Hotbox.
That's cool.
Yeah, hopes that people just – it's a bummer when someone – it's sad when someone doesn't have the means or the background or the person in their life to give them those tools for self-discovery. You're fighting a war with weapons. And it's
absolutely.
And it's been a blessing for her to kind of help me get some of those. And it's a big, big goal for me to help people get those tools for themselves.
That's cool, man. I love that. Like I said, that's exactly kind of our purpose as well. And to provide those tools and resources. And so it is a really big thing. You know, I've been talking to a lot of guys who just didn't grow up with that kind of influence and the ability, the knowledge to better themselves. You know, they just grew up with expectations and trying to fit and fill expectations from others and not ever really given the opportunity to like truly understand why they do the things they do as an individual and out in the community. You know, they're just doing them because they're told to. Anyway, it's pretty cool to see that pop up with what you guys do.
Yeah, man. Just trying to keep learning, keep growing. It's something new every day. Every day is a new discovery. And then sometimes it's five steps back and then you rediscover, oh shit, I'm back in this pocket, you know? And so every day it's day by day. I try to take everything day to day.
Let me just take a second to say, I am wearing this new Sheath gear and I'm freaking loving it. We're working with some friends at Sheath Underwear. And for you guys who haven't heard of it, it's like upgrading from a studio apartment to a two bedroom for your junk. There's no rubbing, there's no chafing, and I refuse to wear anything else.
I'm wearing some right now. I've got a Sheath hat on. They have more than just underwear, and I basically switched out my entire wardrobe of underwear for these Sheath ones. They're amazing.
Yeah. Go to sheathunderwear.com and use the promo code DARKBLUE, all caps DARKBLUE, and get 25% off your first order. That's a big deal, guys. Like, seriously.
It is. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good to have that. Just see so many companies trying to do that, trying to help people just better themselves in general. And that's why, like, I'm really diligent about making sure that I'm working with companies with Into the Dark Blue who have that similar kind of mission. And so, you know, I've been working with Sheath Underwear, and they just, aside from just trying to create a great product for men. I mean, they have women's underwear as well, but which are great. But they're very innovative in the men's underwear with the dual pouch. So there's plenty of room for everything to breathe. You know, they also are really big on mental health as well, and trying to maintain mental health through physical activity and that sort of thing. They have videos on yoga and meditation and things like that as well that come from some of the staff in their company. And so working with them, and also for this tour I'm about to do for the brewery tour, I'm working with Mental Health America and raising money for Mental Health America, who's got some amazing initiatives just helping to create forums for preventative mental health, and just trying to keep people from taking the big steps they take to some destructive behaviors and that sort of thing. So anyway, it's really exciting to be working with companies like that. I plan on continuing to do that, because it's very important right now that companies are trying to do more than just make money, you know?
Oh, man, yeah.
And so, yeah. And so, I mean, you mentioned having a really rough year last year. Can you talk a little bit more about that and kind of how it relates to, you know, your business and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it has so much to do with our business. But yeah, last year, I was just going through a lot of, I discovered that it was this thing called depression. You know, you things just start adding. It's like, wait, this actually happens to me? This is a real thing. You know, feeling tired, feeling kind of distant, lonely, things like that. No motivation to work and just in everything. And so things just kept adding up last year. And I had done some therapy, you know, a few years back. My wife talked me into going to do, but I wasn't open. I wasn't ready to talk, wasn't ready to give, and nothing ever really came of it. And so last year just really I couldn't get out of bed, couldn't sleep, couldn't do anything. And then I just started like having these crying spells. I was going to work every day, wake up, be making my oatmeal, cry. Drive to work, pull up in front of Hot Box, and I have to turn, go a block away, park, cry. I was crying like 3 hours out of the day.
Wow.
It's like, there's something, maybe my hormones, or maybe something weird going on. And then finally got into it. It reached a point to where I was waking up every morning, and I would look in the mirror, and I was with it enough to know something. It's like almost, I was like, I had like a bug, a disease of something.
Like, you don't recognize the person you're looking at in the mirror.
Yeah. I was like, who is this? Like, I would tell my wife, like, I don't even know who I am right now. And it got to the point where all I could think about was just like, man, I would almost give anything if it made a positive impact on someone or something. If my life could go.
Wow.
If I could just trade my life for anything right now. And the only thing that really, I think, kept me from going to that point was knowing the damage it would do to my wife and my family. And I was like, there's no way I can do that to them. But at that point, I was really talking. I started sharing that with my wife, and she convinced me to get back into therapy and got the assistance. I had to start taking some antidepressants, things like that, to just try to help get me through lift the clouds a little bit.
Right.
And, thank God, like, that really did work for me. And for about 6 months, that really kind of lifted the spell for a little bit, gave me enough freedom and space to really dig into therapy, get into meditation, get back into a routine of exercise, and get my diet under control. Just gave me a routine again. And in doing that, after several months, I was able to start getting off the antidepressants and returning back to a life that felt normal to me. And a lot of it was caused by my job, so much of it. There's just so much stress with running a company.
Yeah.
Hotbox, like you were talking about, like you know, with Sheath, is want to do something bigger than just rate than making money. And so that feeling has always been there, but really translating that message and making that happen is like a tremendous pressure. And then sometimes you don't feel like you have the means or the capacity to do it. And so you start kind of losing your purpose. And then business was getting really tough for a while. We were transitioning, about to move into a new facility.
Yeah,
I just let so much stress and pressure build up and wasn't taking care of myself. And then it just struck me like a lightning bolt, and was able to get my head clear, get some things together, get back to me. And we got moved into our new facility, and we realized, okay, like, we do a good job here. We are capable of this. Like, you know, Hotbox, some people go, oh, this must be a national franchise. And they don't realize, like, no, it's just us.
Yeah.
Like, it's just me. And it's like my extremely fucking badass staff yep. who are just making this thing happen. And so, you know, we strive to grow into other stores later this year, but, you just have to take that pressure off your shoulders and just do your best. And once we kind of came to that, I was like, you know what? It's going to be okay. Like, let's get mine right, meditate, get my routine. And things have just been falling back into place since then. And it's been really, every day is not a great day, but now I have more tools.
More grounded.
Yeah. Yeah. Or when things are just going shitty, I have more tools now to say, okay, I can step back from it now.
Yeah.
And just kind of process it. And it doesn't like just dig in and hold.
Right.
It just digs in and holds. It just grows and festers. And so.
Yeah. And I think one of the most difficult things with like work and being like having that expectation to be the provider, it a lot of times keeps us from knowing it's okay to take time for ourselves, you know. And I've experienced the same thing where I'm like, I'm trying to provide for my family, I'm trying to make money and trying to pay the bills, trying to you know, be successful. And I went years without taking a vacation or taking a day off or, you know, any of that. And it just builds up that stress because there's no self-care, there's no, you know, there's no time taken to really breathe and refocus and, you know, do exactly what you're talking about and maintaining the consistency of taking care of yourself.
Yeah. It's huge. It's easy when you're obsessed or passionate about something, it's easy to just forget everything else. Cause in a way that obsession, it fuels you and it gives you energy. It gives you that adrenaline, those endorphins. But if you make your life just about that, and then there's the pressure of providing and doing something bigger than you have the means to do at that moment, or wanting it too soon, it adds up, and it just, man, it takes a toll on you. If you, like I said, you got to keep your tools sharp and pack as many as your bag as you can possibly collect.
Ooh. what's in the future for Hotbox? You know, you guys, like you said, it feels like it'd be a national chain. It really does. Like, you guys have it just on point, man. It looks so good in there, and like the staff just like they're just excited to see people, and the instruction is just, there's something, I don't know, it's different than anything I've experienced in a class like that. It's just very engaging and all of that. So it feels like you guys have things so together as, you know, a sole proprietorship, which is awesome. So where do you plan on going from where you're at now?
So we feel like Hotbox needs to go in another big city.
Seattle, you know.
Seattle would be a great one.
Come on up, man.
I know it. We have a goal of getting five of them in the next 3 years. And where we've kind of stalled on doing that so far was, it's everything for us to go into a new city and you feel exactly what you felt that day when you came into the Nashville store.
Yeah. So
right now, what we're really working on is bottling that up. And it's taken years of fucking up to actually realize what led us to the path of treating people the way we treat people, or running the business the way we run the business. And now that we kind of understand where that came from and how we became that person, you know, now the big goal is just like instilling it in our people and our team, and finding the right ways to give them the tools to be able to just operate from that mindset.
Yeah.
And once we've really worked hard on that, and we're pretty much there. So it's kind of bottling that up and getting our team really prepped up for that. And then I told my partner that in September, he has no option. We are going into other cities and at least stepping foot indoors to take looks at potential new spaces.
Yeah.
So that's our big thing over the next year is keep spreading the word within our staff of our culture, growing our culture within the building and outside the building, and then learning how to take that culture and executing it in another city in the next year.
Cool, man. That's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
Sweet. Well, I'm going to be back in Nashville pretty soon.
Cool.
So it'd be really cool to meet up if you're interested and talk a little bit more, man.
Let's do it, man. Yeah, absolutely. I'll take you to a good tequila spot.
Sweet. Sounds good.
Right on.
I'm actually, we'll be doing an event there at the end of the year. So if you guys want to come out and be a part of that event, that'd be really cool.
Count us in, man. We're there. And we're in it. This is great. I'm so glad you reached out to me about this. I'm excited about listening back to past episodes and just kind of discovering what this is all about. This is exciting for me in general to have a new outlet to kind of go to and listen to and talk about. This is a beautiful thing, man.
Cool. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, it was really great talking to you, and we'll be in touch, man.
Sounds good, man.
All right. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
All right. Cheers.